want to emphasize a chair that I haven't emphasized before. So this would be chair number one. Chair number one. What chair is chair number one? All right, the unsaved. That's good. I'm going to call them wicked. Now, how many here are wicked? By nature. Okay. All right. So, first group will be the wicked. Now, I'm always tricky, so this is going to be tricky. What's the second chair?
Wicked part two.
Wicked part two. Very good. Wicked part two. All right. So this, we're going to call this one hypocrite. All right. Thank you. All right. So the hypocrite chair, nobody here is a hypocrite. But every once in a while you pretend like you're a hypocrite. All right. So the wicked and the hypocrite are actually the same. They're actually identical. Now, this third chair is a secret chair, because that's the one I want to emphasize today. So I'm not going to show you that one yet. The fourth chair will be what used to be the third chair. So I'm putting another chair in the middle. All right. So this chair, number four, will be faith. But before faith, there's something that comes up. Can anyone guess what it is? No. Faith is the first part of salvation. Second part of salvation is hope, which is sanctification. And the third part, the last part, is love. We're actually going to add two more chairs today so that you see everything. All right. So, this is salvation, these three chairs. All three chairs are salvation. Now, the key chair to this, which most people skip over, is repentance. Repentance, in the Hebrew language, repentance is nacham. So say it, nacham. Nacham. You have to have put some kind of aspiration in there or some kind of guttural. Naham. All right, say it again.
Naham.
Okay, now you all speak Hebrew. Now, what does it mean? Does anyone have an idea of what repentance means in the Hebrew? There are different words, by the way, for repentance, but the one I want to use today is naham. What does naham mean? Oh, like Nahum in the Bible, right? Remember the prophet Nahum?
Comfort.
How'd you know that?
He told us.
Oh. That's good. Did I say that? Did I say that? All right. So to be put at ease is to repent. Now, most people think repent means change your mind or turn back, which is another word in the Hebrew, shuv. But this aspect of the word, and this is the dominant aspect in the Old Testament, is to put yourself at ease, to stop being nervous. These two chairs are restless. If I'm wicked, how many know it takes some doing? You know, you're active. You're laboring. You're working at it. And if I'm a hypocrite, oh, even more so. Here I'm eating the apple, but here I'm sowing fig leaves. Can you see how those are both activities? Those are human activities. So here, man at his worst. Here, man at his best, which is altogether vanity. In other words, there is no such thing as man at his best. Man at his best is a liar, a hypocrite. It's someone who's pretending to be something he's not when he's one of these chairs right here, chair number one. This is me at my worst. This is me. This is me pretending I'm not me. Right? So there's going to be tension. There's going to be stress because I'm pretending to be not here where you look, where I look like, but here where I ought to be. But I'm not where I ought to be. So this is hypocrisy. So I'm always working to get from chair one to chair two, but actually I just remain in chair one forever. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So have you all come to that understanding that you really can't do anything to please God? Now, you can please people. People love to be faked out. When you're moral, when you're civilized, when you're at your very, very best, you're a liar in the eyes of God. Now, not in the eyes of people. People like this chair. You can't have civilization without this chair. So this is man at his wickedest, his corrupt, evil, and so on. So this is really who you are. In other words, you are not basically good who does a few bad things. But most people feel that. Well, I know, but basically I think I'm good. I believe I'm basically good. That's called insanity. If you believe you're basically good, and then every once in a while you do a few bad things, you are insane. I'm not being silly. I'm telling you the truth. That is the key to insanity. Because you are not facing the truth. And the reason that Jesus came was to show you the truth. Listen carefully to God's law. Be perfect. Now, I'm wicked here. Whether I'm a little bit wicked or a lot wicked, I'm wicked. But since the goal is be perfect, then this chair doesn't count. With men it counts, with God it doesn't count. Now, you'll never understand the Bible unless you follow what I'm saying, is that repentance has nothing to do with chair one. The deeds I've done mean nothing. That I told a lie is nothing. It's my basic nature that I'm lying to myself about, and it's what's going to make me kill Jesus. This chair never kills Jesus. No harlot, no murderer, none of that. They don't kill Jesus. It's always the religious people that kill Jesus. Are you familiar with that? So religion is the worst thing in the world because it's you doing it. You remember Jesus said, out of the heart cometh. And did he ever say religious, nice, moral, kindness? No. Out of the heart cometh what? Murder, adultery, fornication, all kinds of evil, all manner of evil. So this is who I really am. This is me pretending I'm not who I really am. Now, I want you to all be with me because you won't understand any of the rest of the chairs, and you'll never get anywhere if you move on without understanding that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So chair number one is who you really are. Now, that's why marriages don't work. Marriages don't work because you're all pretending to be here when you're actually here. And it isn't just that occasionally my bad side comes out. It's that always my bad side, but I can suppress it. And we count that as a good thing. It would be better to found your marriage on reality, which is you're wicked, I'm wicked, but Jesus put us together. Let's forgive each other. Let's not hold each other to some high standard that neither of us can achieve. Do you all see this? This makes my marriage work beautifully because Peggy, fortunately, is just as wicked as me. Do you all understand that? You're all laughing, but it's not funny. She is wicked. Do you all understand what I'm saying? There are no good people. One time somebody called Jesus good. He said, none is good but God. No, but you, Jesus, you're good. He said, the good works that I do, I don't do them. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. In other words, I'm not doing my own works. Whether they're good or bad, it's none of your business, he's saying. I'm never doing on earth, I'm never doing my works. I'm doing the Father's works. Do you all understand that? So you're capable, as a wicked person, of actually doing the works of God. But not without going through chair 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now, to God be the glory. Because here, this is apart from Jesus. Remember what Jesus said here in faith chair? He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that means none of these works are possible. Neither being wicked, nor being a hypocrite, nor being even repentant. You can't even do those without Jesus. In fact, you can't even have faith without Jesus. In fact, you can't have hope. In fact, you can't have love. And what is this chair? This is the final chair. What do you think the final chair is? What is it? Perfect? All right. Yeah. All right. This is the bridal chair after all judgment. In other words, this chair is that the kingdom of God, it's the Father's good pleasure to give everybody here the kingdom of God. Now let's say you were sinful like Crystal. It's the Father's good pleasure. We're just making it up. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So if he wants to give you the kingdom, who could prevent him? No one except you. You can say, I don't want it. I don't want to go to heaven. I'd rather go to hell. I'd rather be destroyed. Whatever it is, I don't want to take it. So if you refuse him, there's no problem. That's just chair number one doing what it does. And God knows that, so he'll make every effort to kill his own son in order to reach Crystal. Because he does not desire the death of any sinner. Isn't that amazing? Even though you kill him, even though you do everything you could possibly do wickedly, it doesn't bother God at all. God is not even moved by that at all, because it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see that? A good parent, no matter what a child does, is going to constantly sacrifice himself, herself, in order for that child to win no matter what. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter that your children rebel. It doesn't matter that they don't do what you say. It doesn't matter that they're not perfect. You still love them, and it's your decision, even if they do wrong. I forgive them, and then I'm going to help them, and then I'm going to help them again, and I'll help them again, and even if it kills me. That's God. Even if it kills me. And so he gave the best thing he could ever give, which is his own beloved son, who never did anything wrong, for Crystal, so that she could be saved. Do you all understand that? Now, she doesn't have to take it. But he didn't love the church, for God so loved the church, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave what? For God so loved the world. So this chair number one is the world. Now, it looks like to us that there's two chairs. But in God's sight, there's only one chair. In God's sight, a hypocrite and a wicked person are the same. And I told you last week, the only reason they killed Jesus, because he said those two chairs were the same. And there's nobody in this world would consider you sane. And yet they're insane not to see that those are actually the same chairs. This is me eating the apple, and this is me sewing fig leaves on to fool God. How many know it's real hard to fool God? When you have your little fig leaves on, he's not impressed. Did you ever do that? You did something wrong, but you put little fig leaves on? I didn't do it. Oh, he loves that. He loves that. He loves that when you lie. God is just tickled pink when you do that. Because he knows, I've got to do something. Because this person's going to be a liar. So, does God love chair number two? No. God loves chair number one because there is no chair number two. Now, I want you to see this. He does not love you when you're good. He does not love you when you're good. In fact, he hates you. Listen to what he said. And many came to him saying, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We did miracles. We did signs. We did wonders. We saved people. We delivered people. We set people free. Depart from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. Do you all see that? When you say, we did this, you are showing him something that he didn't do it then. Then it wasn't a gift. It was something you earned. You are here waiting for your wage. And so he says to you, who are trying to collect on God, depart from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. Did you know that when you are at your best, when you've done everything you can do to please others and please God, that God hates that? The thing about Israel that he hated so much was because they were religious and they were trying to establish their own righteousness in his sight. Do you all see that? Do you all see that? So these chairs are very difficult to understand. I would say most pastors don't preach on this because they don't understand the power of repentance. And repentance is the only word I want to teach on today. So repentance is this chair here. This is the only one I want to talk about. That God wants you to be comforted. Comfort you, my people. Why? Because all this labor, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. right? So this is called labor. These two chairs are way too much work. Eating apples when God said not to, and then sowing fig leaves when God doesn't want you to because he knows you ate the apple anyway. How many know he can see through a fig leaf? So when you're at your best, the Bible says, man at his best state is altogether nothing. Vanity. That's why Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Vanity. So put yourself at ease. God's not going to count these two chairs, which are really one. He does not count this, nor will you ever go to hell because you were wicked and sinful and nasty and a bad husband and a bad wife. You're not going to go to hell for that. Nor will you go to hell because you're a pastor. Nor will you go to heaven because you're a pastor. You won't go to heaven or hell because of any work you did or didn't do. Those are just symptoms of the fact that you never found out who you were. Now, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, every once in a while, you have some evidence of that, but actually it's true all the time. So this is man, what you call expressing himself. Do you ever do that every once in a while? You just express yourself? You might swear. You might, you just come out in all your glory. And then you say to yourself, well, that's not like me. I'm sorry I did that. That sorrow is not repentance. Because it isn't just the fruit that's bad. It's your nature. Your very nature is that you not only are wicked in your very nature, but you also love to pretend like you're not. And that is worse than just being wicked. Did you know that Jesus said that I wish you were cold or hot, but I hate it that you're lukewarm. So this is the lukewarm. Now, are you following so far? Now, what I'm doing is sorting out all the different scriptures that are very confusing, but they're not. They're all crystal clear. So repentance is the chair I want to talk about. Naham. Naham means to put at ease or to be at rest. See, these are labor chairs. Here you're in labor. Here you're working. Here you're stressed. Did you know 99% of the people in this world are stressed? Thank God none of you are. The reason you're not is because of Jesus. These three chairs are all salvation, and this is the reward or the inheritance of the saints. Right here. This is where you're going to end up. This is your chair. If Crystal can get in, anybody can get in. Amen? Amen? So, it doesn't matter that you're guilty. That does not matter. It's just that Jesus has been sent to you so that you will repent and believe on the gospel, the good news, that Jesus does it all. You can't labor because we already agreed that you can't labor. Come unto me, all you that labor. I'll give you rest. So, this is the work of Jesus. Amen? It's not your work. You're not cooperating with him. You're not working with him. You're not helping him out. This is not a work, repentance, nor is this a work, faith, nor is this a work, being discipled or disciplined, wherever I am, here. Nor is this a work that I'm a lover. None of these are works of us. When we love, we don't give ourselves the credit. When we love, how many know we are not naturally lovers? We are not naturally unconditionally loving other people, serving them. Happy to not take care of ourselves, happy to take care of them, think on them. How many know that we're not natural at that? You could forget. You could be a Christian and then forget who you were and suddenly break out all the way back to one. You could be a very mature Christian and still break out in number one at any moment. Then you could cover yourself with two instead of with Jesus' blood. Then you could repent, but it would just be psychological or, in other words, it would just be something superficial. Or you could actually believe on Jesus because you knew you couldn't do anything apart from him. But you actually knew that Jesus did it all. So Jesus, through these seven chairs, is teaching us who we are. If you're in Christ here through faith, this is how you begin. Woo! This is how you continue. Don't worry. And this is how you end.
You can make the point without breaking a leg.
Amen. Praise God. So, because Jesus kept me, that shows that he likes sinners. You see? Because a sinner is someone that has no idea what they're doing. You're born in sin. You're conceived in sin. Even before you're born, you're already conceived in sin, the Bible saith. So if you're conceived in sin, it's real hard when you're inside the womb to do good or bad. But the Bible says you're conceived in sin. It goes all the way back to Adam. In other words, that's good news for you. Because your brains can't figure that out. Well, how could I, before I was even born, be conceived in sin? It just means, don't sweat it, don't worry about it. Even before you seemingly made an effort, you were already ruined at that point. Because he always intended, he never intended for you to be good. He always intended for you to sin. He didn't make you that way. He just told you, don't do it, knowing you would. When you tell someone not to do something, they will. Now, whether they do it outwardly or inwardly doesn't make any difference. When you tell them not to do something, sooner or later they will, because their heart is full of wickedness. Now, does everybody here know you have a wicked heart? Does everybody here know you have a wicked heart? And even though you're born again and filled with the Spirit and go to Pastor Jim's church and stuff, it doesn't mean a thing. It will not change this. You just have to believe that you are no longer this chair because of the free gift of Jesus Christ in chair number 4. And so, repenting is what I must do. I have to change my mind. In the Greek language, it's metanoia. Metanoia means to change, meta, metamorphosis, meta. Metamorphosis, noia means mind. So I have to change my mind. I thought I could be good. I thought at least I could be moral. At least I could be religious. At least I could be civilized. At least I could behave myself sometimes. But some people are so wicked that they are wicked just all the time. Did you know that there are people like that? Did you know that there are people like that? There's two in this room. There's two people like that in this room. Peggy's one, yes. Yes, that's right. Peggy's one. And no. No. I have never been moral in my life. Ever. I have never been moral. And I could also say I've never been religious. I'm neither moral nor religious. I don't have an ounce of morality in me. And there are a few others in this room who are equal unto me. But this is what you have to know, is you're always here. Everyone else is a liar. You are always wicked. That's why Jesus came and offered nothing good. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing good in man. There is no good thing in me. Those are not just creedal statements. Those are scriptural realities or truths that'll set you free. If you know you're wicked, I'll tell you what, you will be grateful for the rest of your life that Jesus Christ didn't leave you in your wickedness. Now, if you think you're good and you're decent and you deserve something, you will never appreciate Jesus. Never. You will not grow in Jesus Christ. You may become a Christian by faith, but you will never go through the discipline because you don't need it, nor will you ever end up in love. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. The way to get to 6 is you got to start at 1. You have to realize this is the one he loves. For God so loved the world. Now, the reason to go over these simple things is because people make simple mistakes every minute of every second of every day. Because they don't know where they're heading. We're going to go for chair 7. That's God's will. God wills. His will for you is to be sanctified, to be glorified. His will for you is to sit in chair 7. Now, if you believe that Jesus forgives you for chair 1 and also for chair 2, so that you then change your mind about that, you know what? I am one. I will always be one apart from him. And I've lied to pretend like I was in chair 2. And my only hope now, I see, because I'm changing my mind, is that Jesus Christ forgives me and justifies me by faith. No wage, no reward, nothing. Because if I were to be rewarded for what I've done, I would have to be dead. Because the wages of sin is death. So chair 1 and 2 are for sinners. Whether you're a moral sinner, a religious sinner, a nice sinner, a wonderful, gracious sinner, or not, you're a sinner. In other words, if you're a human being, you're a sinner. Both of these are the only two things this world knows, good and bad. But good is not good, and everybody's just bad. That's why they killed Jesus. Because he said everybody's the same. They killed Jesus because he said, I have come to save sinners, not just wicked ones here, but also nice ones here. And this is the group that killed him. This group did not. The harlots never killed Jesus. Gee, our brothel business is really down. We're down 72% since Jesus came to town. No, the brothel people didn't do that. None of the murderers said it. You know, crime has been down ever since Jesus came to Capernaum. Crime has gone down 48%. No, the murderers never killed Jesus. Nobody killed Jesus except these decent, lying people who are called religious. It's moral people, religious people, who want to defend their own righteousness that kill God's Son. Why? Because they don't want his mercy. Why do I need mercy if I'm good? If I'm capable of good. You see, I've never believed, and I don't believe to this day, that I'm capable of any good. I'm just psychologically, I've never believed that. I've always believed that I was worthless, evil, nasty, and I totally loved it. When my wife would complain, you don't love me, I would laugh. I would say, well, who loves anybody? He says nothing to me. She could never make me feel guilty. Peg tried her best. Pam, aren't you excited about this? No, I know you're not. Because you wished I had made a better effort. But the truth is, that's just lying. According to the Bible, not according to your brains, not according to civilization, according to your brains, that's wrong. There is no chair two. Chair two doesn't even exist. We could just easily put chair one right on top of chair two. Because all there is wicked. Man, apart from God, can only do wicked all the day long. And no matter what you think, you're wrong. You're insane and you're a liar. According to God, not according to you, not according to society. According to society, there are two chairs. According to God, there's only one. Now, I got that down early because I was raised that way. I grew up that way. I never once in my life ever thought I'm a good person or I could be good or I should be good. I've never had those thoughts. Those thoughts have never been a temptation to me to think I could improve. Now, most of you were trained in a better way that, come on, you can make it. You're the little engine that could. I never had that training. And so I've been wicked from my youth, and I had to deceive Peggy when I married her by pretending to her, but it wasn't from the heart. I mean, I knew I was lying. I just gave her a line. I said to her, Pam, this is what I said to her. I said, Peg, I'm a great catch. It's a total lie. Well, I didn't say those words, but that's basically what I was saying. I was just deceiving her. But, you know, she deserved that. She deserved it. Because she was a masochist. Do you know what that is? I was a sociopath, and she was a masochist. So we have two crazy people. And so she needed someone like me to get her into reality, and I needed someone like her to be phony and fake like that. Because otherwise I wouldn't understand y'all. I understand perfectly. Because she would say, I'd be driving along the highway and I'd say, I wish that person were dead. And she would say, don't say that. That's not nice. Well, that's what I want. I wish I had a little button right here on my dash. That person is trying to pass me up and get to Dallas before me. And to this day, I'm sorry. To this day, I still want to have that button. Because I hate it that someone will go 90. You know, I'll go 80. But after that, when it gets up to 85 or something, I slow down. I don't want to do that. But I will go fast. But I hate it that someone else will actually go faster. And I'll block them. If I see them coming up from behind, I will get over in their lane. And if they do get past me, I will then figure out, okay, I'm going to speed up and I'm going to block them. I'll get them caught in one of the lanes. Now, is this Christianity? No. Is this Jesus? Am I dead unto sin? No. And it's just my basic training in nature. There are certain habits that don't go easily. Amen? And so, is it justified? Absolutely not. But I have never worried about that. I've never helped Jesus to clean me up. I have never tried to be religious or help Jesus, even though I'm a believer. Even though I've repented of my sins,